Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
I am so excited to talk to these presenters. Christina Muller, and she's an expert on burnout, and I love the way that she approaches this. So please, Christina, tell us all about what you're doing.
Yes, thank you so much. So I am a clinician. My background is in mental health. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been in the field for about 15 years now, and through that time, I had worked with a lot of people individually who have come to me burnt out, just really having it with their job, feeling like they're not being seen, they're not being appreciated at their job. And I also was serving as a consultant throughout much of my career to organizations facing disruption, facing even traumatic events. And from those situations, I saw that the missing piece there for a lot of these folks was connection, feeling connected either to their workplace, feeling that their leadership wasn't connected to them, to the day-to-day, what they're doing. And I really saw that there was an opportunity to help from the top down and get to the point of the issue, not just dealing with the individuals who are coming to me once these issues have, you know, gone and blossomed.
So what are you telling these workplace owners to do to make their employees feel more seen, I think is what you're doing, right?
Yeah, and similarly to what Wambi has been doing, I think it's really important to acknowledge people, to feel that you see their effort, not just their output. And what I like to do is tell people that there's time in the day to do this, even if they feel like there isn't. And that's usually one of the objections that leaders tell me, is that this is really nice, but we have a lot going on, and it's really hard to connect with people in the way maybe I'd like to. So I actually trademarked a model called the C model, which has been very helpful for many leaders, they've told me, to remember this process of seeing people and engaging with them. So the first part of it is to spot somebody's effort, spot if they maybe even need a little bit more support and scaffolding. Empathizing with the situation, whether it's right now, this is a tough time for all of us, or I see that there's a lot on your plate. Really helping to increase what we call psychological safety, where people feel that you're seeing them in that moment, and then engaging in an actionable and meaningful way. And that might look different for people. It doesn't always look like recognition, but it can look like scaffolding extra clarity around a situation and really exploring and being curious about, you know, what's hard right now for you in this, and what can we do to help you do your job best?
So if you're a leader, how important is the acknowledgement and recognition piece compared to maybe some of the other responsibilities that you have? So, you know, if I'm spending a certain amount of time developing business versus time that I'm spending with my team, which I do think is really, really important, is there a formula or a recommendation that you have about how you should be thinking about these things?
Well, I know Gallup put out a survey that you're three times more likely to be engaged at your workplace if you feel that you're connected to your leadership and the work that's being done. So it has effects on productivity. It has effects on the bottom line. And what I tell leaders is that there's these micro moments of connection, and the C model is a vehicle for that, essentially. But there's no fixed number. But if you could try to do it as often as you can, ideally it would be daily, as much as you can possibly. But if even you're doing it weekly, I think it's better than not doing it at all.
It's hard when everybody's remote, right?
Yeah.
So there are a couple people in the office, but everybody else is remote. So to connect, you have to see them on Zoom or call them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like you can just bump into them in the hall and say, oh, by the way, that was an amazing report.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, but you could send a message talking to the effort that they've been putting out and noticing them and seeing them in that way.
So would an email work? I mean, do you think that's effective enough?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. I think an email is better than not acknowledging. Ideally, if it is a remote-only environment, if you could do it over a Zoom where you could see the person and they could receive that, I think that would be ideal. Even something like Wambi has created with these beautiful cards, giving somebody something like that where they could process it and enjoy it and feel like, you know, they're seeing me. And I had eavesdropped on Wambi's conversation earlier with one of his business partners, and something that stuck out to me, and it's really apropos to my work, is that his company acknowledges people on their birthday, sends them handwritten birthday cards, also acknowledges when there's a loss or some sort of disruption in the person's life. And I think that's tremendous, and I wish more companies would do that. So it's really impressive what you guys are doing.
Yeah, and I think we have, you know, so many great ways to do that with just mm-hmm. kind of what we do as a business and sending cards to people. But even smaller things that you can do, we can do. We have a very distributed team. One of our Slack channels internally is Retail Magic and Connection. And it's for our team members to just shout out different things that they're seeing, different stories. I also think there's just like, how do you give people a forum for that to make it super easy?
And you know, it's interesting that different team members receive acknowledgement different ways. And you have to give the acknowledgement in a way that they can receive it. And so that requires understanding who you're working with and what's important and what's going to be meaningful to them.
Yeah.
One of my attorneys would rather have me sit in his office and talk with him about a case that he's working on. That kind of dialogue would be an acknowledgement from him. He doesn't need to hear me say good job.
Right, exactly. And it looks different. And some people don't actually want public recognition either, right? They wouldn't want it publicly in a Slack channel. So, yeah, for some people, like I said, it's clarity or more support or more scaffolding. And understanding that most people want to do a good job. So if there is something getting in the way, not to get furious, but to get curious as to what that stumbling block may be.
Very interesting phrase.
Don't get furious, get curious.
Don't get furious, get curious.
No, she's going to be saying that to me all the time.
You can use that one. Yes. Applicable in many situations, in and outside the workplace.
So what is your number one, like, say you're working with a company. Do you work with small companies, big companies?
Yeah, I work with small companies, mid-sized companies. Yeah, I work with leaders who are going through transition. I work around critical incident debriefing, even something as large as a mass shooting in the workplace, which I did this past summer. So, I mean, those are very difficult situations for leaders to lead through.
So what was the first thing you did? Did you interview the CEO?
Not always the CEO. Sometimes it's the HR manager. It depends. But you kind of get a feel for where they are culturally and what level of disruption they're at. And then kind of catering the intervention to the leadership style, right? And helping to best support them, also using research and helping them understand the neurological, the neuroscience behind everything that I'm presenting.
Are you able to take a CEO who's like real nasty and a jerk and make him be nicer?
Well, I think it's challenging. You know, workplace mental health, the workplace affects our mental health, but we also bring our mental health to the workplace, right? So some people already have a certain level of that.
Yes.
So some people are not going to, in an intervention with me, have a global change in their personality or how they comport themselves with others, right? But trying to give them some tools and strategies to help support them in ways that they would be able to meaningfully apply. And it's challenging. And some of those people may need more consultation, more support, right, than others. So kind of assessing that and using my clinical background, which comes in handy, right? I'm not just a leadership coach. I have clinical background that informs this work. And I think that can be really helpful.
Are there ways to sort of measure, from a financial standpoint, the difference and impact that these programs have on companies, or is that not so much a focus of your work?
Yeah, it's not as much a focus of it. I mean, it's more qualitative data that people come back and tell me that it's been helpful in building morale and helping them in their communication styles to better engage with folks. But we know from the research that it does have these impacts. But it is hard to measure that particular intervention was, you know, what drove sales or anything like that.
Yeah, you can't put Google tags on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little harder when it comes to mental health and these more nebulous things, right?
Yeah, there's one thing I'm super curious about. Just like you get to see so much and talk to so many people in lots of different situations here. And you mentioned the burnout, which I think is real. This like high connectivity, the fact that, you know, we have all of these feeds that are, you know, hijacking our attention and really creating this different world. What about for, rather than kind of the leadership of the company, but if you're listening to this and you're experiencing burnout at your workplace, and maybe there's like a mixed level of recognition that I'm getting, what advice do you have for me in that situation?
Well, a lot of companies also have an employee assistance program, which is a mental health service that is free for employees to use and get support around these issues. And I actually worked in that world for a number of years, and that was part of what inspired me to go to the source, essentially, because people were symptomatic based on what I perceived as their environment many times and what was happening at work. So, you know, that's something I would always suggest if you do have an EAP, and most small, mid-sized, large organizations do, but it is an underutilized benefit, unfortunately. It's about 12% of folks actually are utilizing it. We need to get the word out more about it.
100% need to utilize it.
Yeah, yes.
Everybody always has issues.
Yes. I mean,
even when you own a business, it's hard because you feel like you're doing a lot for your employees.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I want more sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's a legitimate question, is like, if there needs to be a right balance,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, showing appreciation, I think that's just a good human behavior.
Absolutely.
I think we should all do that just as a matter of course.
Yeah.
But there also has to be a balance between structure and doing all the other things that are necessary
Absolutely.
To get alignment so
yes.
that the business succeeds and we can all pay our bills, right? So so how do you talk to that balance? How do you incorporate those
things?
Yeah,
and I think it is a challenging balance, and I think that's part of the work, right, is helping people find the ways that they can do it that are feasible, right? In some industries, it's less so than others, so not taking an all-or-nothing approach to it, but trying to implement these things as best you can and getting your own support. I mean, I'm a big proponent if, you know, a leader is feeling, you know, stressed out, burnt out, dysregulated, you know, you can't give from an empty well too, right? So noticing when you're experiencing that, that might be a sign to get more support.
That's a great point. If a leader listening today wants to make one meaningful shift that would improve trust and well-being in their workplace, what would that be?
I would say to allow mistakes to happen and to see them as learning opportunities. I think that's something that I hear about from folks where they feel it's unsafe sometimes to speak up or to make a mistake without feeling like they're going to really be coming down on. So seeing it as a learning opportunity. And again, getting curious if somebody's really struggling in their job, if they were hired and they looked great, you know, initially, and now that they're not performing, to really try to understand what could be getting in the way.
That's really important. So how can people find you?
At ChristinaMuller.com and also MindYourWorkplace.co.
Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhart.